Walter. Thank you. Let God use you. Amen. Thank you, brothers, for our men's chorus. Amen. Let me say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers today. And I also want to thank the families for providing our altar arrangement. Alexander family, representative from the family, is here. Stand up, sister. It's a beautiful arrangement. Thank you. And also the Reeves family, who are not present with us, in memory of their son and daughter-in-law who passed away last year. They gave us the baptistry arrangement. We thank them for that. I also want to thank our deaconesses for providing the boutonnieres for our fathers. Did every father get one? Did you get one, Justin? Here's one coming for you. He's a new dad. Amen. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. When I got up this morning, I went to the table where I normally sit for breakfast to have a banana, and there were two cards there, and one card said Daddy, and the other card said Sweet Daddy. Both of them were from my wife. She calls me Daddy. We've been married almost 41 years. Amen. And if you men, husbands, want to know how to get the label Sweet Daddy, hit me up. I'll let you know. I just want to emphasize once again our children's mission day next Sunday. During this pandemic, our children have not been worshiping with us, and many of our members are still not worshiping in person. And this will be the first Sunday where our children will be featured and lead in worship and be present. So we want to be here. If you're in a choir, call your choir members. If you're an usher, call the ushers. If you're a greeter, call the greeters. If you're a deacon, call the deacons. We want to come. And I want to say to our members who are at home, come back to worship. Come back to worship. Wear your mask, come back to worship. Next Sunday, we have special guests, the First Missionary Baptist Church of Angleton, Texas, with Pastor Gerald Holland, who is the pastor of Reverend Torrance Spears and his father in the ministry. He's going to bring the word, and youth and children from First Missionary are going to be present with us, and they're going to be here this weekend. We want to be here to welcome them, to greet them, to hear Pastor Holland preach to us on next Sunday. So it's Children's Missions Day. Please come out. Genesis Edgley will be our lay speaker, and our children will be singing. You won't want to miss it. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, from the New International Version. And the text says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The word of our God. Honoring your father. I'd like to begin with a poem by Edgar Guest, which speaks to the role and impact of fathers. The poem is entitled, "Only a Dad." And he writes, "Only a dad with a tired face, coming home from the daily race, bringing little of gold or fame to show how well he has played the game, but glad in his heart that his own rejoice to see him come and to hear his voice. Only a dad with a brood of four, one of 10 million men or more plodding along in the daily strife, bearing the whips and the scorns of life, with never a whimper of pain or hate, for the sake of those who at home await. Only a dad, neither rich nor proud, merely one of the surging crowd, toiling, striving from day to day, facing whatever may come his way, silent whenever the harsh condemn, and bearing it all for the love of them. Only a dad, but he gives his all to smooth the way for his children small, doing with courage stern and grim the deeds that his father did for him. This is the line that I pen, only a dad, the best of men. Today we celebrate and honor fathers like the man described in the poem. Real fathers do the best they can to take care of their children and their families. Real fathers go out into the world and face the slings and arrows to provide a life and protection for their families. Real fathers carry the weight of responsibility like a cherished garment, knowing that their decisions and steadfastness are the bedrock for the future of their children. As the poem says, real fathers smooth the way for their children. And real fathers deserve our praise and respect. Real fathers are to be honored by their children. And that's what our text in Deuteronomy teaches. The text is part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy presents an alternate version of the commandments, which are also found in Exodus 20. When Moses and the people gather at Mount Sinai, they experience a series of fear-inducing events: trembling, fire, thunder, smoke, and lightning. And these events let the people know that they are in the presence of the sovereign God of the universe. After these events occur, then God speaks to Moses and Israel at Mount Sinai. And this is the only time that God gives direct commands to the people, when he gives out the Ten Commandments. And what God says, known to us as the Ten Commandments, lays out the terms of God's covenant with Israel. So these commands govern Israel's relationship with God and how that relationship is to be carried out. There are four commandments which speak about Israel's relationship with God. The first four are directed toward God. And there are six commandments which speak about the practices of the people and their relationships to persons and property. And our text presents one of those six, the fifth commandment, which addresses God's concern for the family. You see, the family is the primary unit of the community. If the family is stable, the community will be stable. And our text speaks about honoring father and mother. To honor is to respect and to obey father and mother. To despise one's parents is not only to have contempt for the family, but also to have contempt for the community, God's people. So God is teaching about honoring parents, honoring father, honoring mother, because God wants the family to be stable, because if the family is stable, the community, the people of faith will be stable. Before I get to the point about honoring your father, let me say a couple of things about what fathers do. And I know that all families are not the same. There are families where the father is present And there are families where the father isn't present. But this is Father's Day, so let me say something about what fathers do. One thing fathers do is provide material support for the family. The basis for the command to honor and father and mother is that part of the role of the father is economic. In the ancient Near East, women had few rights. They could not own property. They were dependent upon the support of their fathers, husbands, and sons. In patriarchal societies, fathers are not only the head of households, but also the primary breadwinners. They are the ones who are responsible for ensuring that the family has a place to live and has food to eat and is protected from danger. Today it's different. Sometimes women make more than their husbands. Sometimes women provide the larger support for families. But in the Bible, it wasn't like that. And so fathers were responsible for material support. They were responsible for teaching the values of the community to their children. The father is responsible for the entire household. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This isn't on my paper, just dropped in my spirit. Often when I counsel couples who are preparing to be married, I ask them about what they think the role of a husband is and what they think the role of a father is, because sometimes, a mother is, or wife, sometimes people have a traditional view that the father or the husband provides all of the resources, the material comforts, and sometimes they have a non-traditional view that it should be 50-50 or it doesn't matter. And sometimes when I'm counseling couples, the woman isn't really ready to say that she wants the husband to provide everything. Sometimes she sort of says it in a sly way. So I usually have a follow-up question and say, well, if you, both of you are staying home, not going to work and not sleeping, who's the most at fault when you don't have rent money and when you don't have money for your food? And then the real stuff comes out. But real fathers, according to the Bible and in the ancient Near East, provide material support for their families. And today, many fathers work more than one job. And some men, some husbands, some fathers don't want their wives to work, and so they work and provide all of the support. If your dad did that, thank God for your dad. Not all men do that, right? Come on, somebody. If your dad has provided material comforts for you, provided for your shelter, provided for your food, provided for your schooling, that's a wonderful gift from a father. That's what real fathers do. They provide material support for families. Stephen Curry and the Warriors won the NBA championship. So that's how I get an amen and an applause. I got to talk about the right person. After the game ended, the crowds descended onto the floor, and the cameras caught up with Curry. He was being hugged by a lot of people and being congratulated. Then I heard him say, where is my family? He says, I'm trying to get to my family. And when he said that, I thought that was great, because through the years, we've gotten to know Curry's family, especially his kids. His daughter Riley has joined him at press conferences. And the other day we saw a video on the internet with his little boy, about 2 years old, dribbling two basketballs just like his dad does before games. And I'm glad that Curry focused upon his family. Because basketball is just a game. It's just a sport. But family is about building a life. So many, and the reason I'm happy is so many young men watch basketball. And it's good for them to see professional athletes who take care of their families and make their children a priority in their lives. Real fathers do that. Another thing, real fathers provide spiritual guidance for the family. Another reason why children should honor father and mother is the father is the spiritual leader of the family. I'm speaking in biblical terms. I know there are different configurations for families today. And although mothers in Jewish households provide instruction in the faith, the father is responsible for guarding the spiritual life of the family. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And then it goes on to say, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So the people of Israel, the fathers were given instructions, special instructions about providing guidance spiritually for the children. Fathers are to ensure that the principles in the commandments are poured into their children. And fathers are to be examples of the faith and guide the family to be committed to God and to the family. Because the family is the primary unit of the community, the survival and growth of the faith community is dependent upon the family. So fathers are essential spiritual guides for the family. And we see that clearly with Joshua and his declaration to the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 24. The Bible says, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And this is what Joshua says to them. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And then he says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua gives the people the option to choose. They can run their households as they choose, but Joshua declares how he will run his household. He will serve the Lord. Real fathers guide their families down the right spiritual path. Now, it's on my paper. That begins even before you have children. That begins when you decide to select a spouse. If you're going to be a man of God, you need to marry a woman of God. If you want a spiritual foundation for your life, you've got to start in the selection process. You cannot be a spiritual leader, whether woman or man in your family, if you're going to every little nook and cranny and trying to grab somebody out there who has no connection to the Lord and to faith. Help me, Holy Ghost. You want somebody who, when you pray, they want to pray as well. You want somebody who, when you say, this is the right way to live, they want to live that way as well. So fathers are the representatives of the faith for their family. They are called to rear their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Many children are in church because of the example set by their fathers. And of course, mothers have done a wonderful job. They've been a primary force, but many fathers and many men have given an example that their children still emulate to this day. And we thank God that we have men in Ebenezer Third Baptist Church who are committed to the Lord, committed to faith, committed to the word, and committed to prayer and leading spiritually their families. And so if fathers are to provide material support and to provide spiritual guidance, and fathers accept that mantle, then the Bible says fathers are to be honored. So the text says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How do we honor fathers? Do we get a card for Father's Day? Do we buy a special gift? Those things are nice. To honor your father goes deeper than that. It begins with understanding the critical role of a father in the family. And when we start with that role, we understand why children should never despise or mistreat their father. To honor literally means to never strike or curse your father. It means to never despise or disrespect your father. To honor your father means to submit to your father's guidance and instructions. To honor your father means to obey your father. Listen, I'm standing before you today. I'm alive today because I have never hit my parent or cursed them. Help me, somebody. Or grandparent. That's why I'm alive. Because were that the case, someone in my family would say, I brought you in here and I can take you out. Honor your father to never strike or curse or despise your father. But honoring one's parents also has an economic component. God expects the family to be the locus of support for parents. Old age, declining health, and financial strains impact families, especially parents. To honor your father as a son or daughter is to ensure that your father and your mother are cared for. It is to step up and provide the leadership and support of the family as fathers get older. That's why I wanted to preach this text about honoring fathers and honoring mothers, because it's more than just a day. That goes beyond a gift or a card. We're not in the same situation as these biblical Jews. We have resources. We've got retirement. We've got Social Security. We have investments. We have property. And women today don't always face the same plight as women of the Bible. Women have resources. But despite our resources, life can impact our parents. Life can impact our fathers and our mothers. Despite our resources, Alzheimer's disease, sickness, strokes, and other maladies can render our parents dependent upon the support of their children and their families. And too often in families, parents have worked hard to provide for their children. Fathers have worked hard. And then when they get sick, when they have a stroke, and when they are in need, you cannot find the children and the grandchildren around to provide care for them when they really need them. To honor your father is to provide what is needed. To honor your father is to continue the work and legacy your father began, thus ensuring that the family is maintained and continues to strive. That's what the Bible means when it says that it may go well with you. God wants the family to do well. When the family does well, the community does well. When the community does well, God's people live long in the land God has provided. So it's critical to honor your mother, to honor your father, to honor your parents. The story of the prodigal son tells us about the love and support of a good father. The father builds a life for his family. The father works to ensure that his son has an inheritance to live his life. This isn't on my paper. Yeah. That little upstart son of the prodigal, you know, the fact that he was able to go out and squander the money is his father worked to make sure he had some money. He had some resources to go out and squander. When the son squanders his inheritance, the father extends grace and restores his son. That's what a good father will do. That's not my message today about a good father just taking care of the son. My message is about sons and daughters honoring fathers and mothers. There's another story about how a son honors his father and provides for his family. And that is the story of Joseph. Listen to Genesis 47, verse 7 and following. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh, the big leader. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my father." So then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph's father is 130 years old. But listen to what the Bible says. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. That's not a father taking care of a son. That's a son taking care of a father. Jacob has grown old. His resources are limited, but his son Joseph has made it to the big times. Joseph is wealthy and well-connected, and Joseph doesn't forget his family. He honors his father. He honors his family. He uses his resources to provide for his father and his family. Don't get so big and so bad and so wealthy that you forget the folk who laid the foundation that launched you to where you are today. Someone said to care for those who once cared for us is one of the highest honors. And that's what good sons and daughters do. And so to children everywhere who are listening online and here, what you're building with your lives and your careers is not just for you. It's also a vehicle for you to honor your father and your mother. There's so much in scripture about what parents are to provide for children and families. We get that. But there's also an injunction for children to care for their parents and to ensure that they have the support they need. And so I challenge children everywhere, honor your father, honor your mother, honor your parents, and use your resources. Build your life, not just so you can live in the big house, but when mama or daddy need you, they can come and live in your house. And you can say to them, "You don't have to go here. I'm going to take care of you. You took care of me, and I'm going to take care you." I want to end with a poem from Maya Angelou. This is Juneteenth, celebration of our emancipation, celebration that started in 1866 when Granger came onto the shores of Galveston and brought the declaration that the enslaved had been set free. And Maya Angelou writes this, what she entitles, "Song for the Old Ones." Song for the Old Ones. And she says, "My fathers sit on benches, their flesh count every plank. The slats leave dents of darkness deep in their withered flanks. They nod like broken candles, all waxed and burnt profound. They say, It's understanding that makes the world go round. There in those pleated faces, I see the auction block, the chains and slavery's coffles, the whip and the lash and stock. My fathers speak in voices that shred my fact and sound. They say it's our submission that makes the world go round. They use the finest cunning, their naked wits and wiles, the lowly Uncle Tommy and the Aunt Jemima's smiles. They've laughed to shield their crying, then shuffled through their dreams and stepped and fetched a country to write the blues with screams. And she says, I understand their meaning. It could and did derive from living on the edge of death. They kept my race alive. That they did all of this stuff. They went through all of those things so that succeeding generations could be around to live and to thrive. And so we're here because our forebears, our forefathers, our foremothers stood the test, paved the way, left the example for the rest of us. We're here because of those who came before us. And now it's our time to step up to the plate, to step up to the front and say, Mama, Daddy, I got it now. Mama, Daddy, you don't have to send me a birthday card with little money in it. Let me send you a card. Some of us overgrown folks still looking for money in the card from our parents. No, take care of your parents. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Honor your parents. God bless you. Extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. What God says to Israel is about faith. So the family is bound up with our faith. And faith is what has sustained us. Faith is what has given us the grace and the strength to endure. You can receive that faith today through the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can receive that faith in your heart, a faith that will transform your life, a faith that will go with you the entire journey. We offer that faith to you today. We offer Christ. If you're viewing us online, you can join us by going to belonging@ebc3austin.org. Let us know your decision. Come walk with us. Come follow Christ as our deacons, ministers, and greeters come. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation?
Life abundantly.
Oh. wonderful day. Sweet daddy is getting ready to leave and go find out all the good stuff in store for him.